So maybe what Uncle Bob is saying is that TDD is like an assault rifle and that some people want to ban it and other people think those first people can't even define what it is. So before we move on from the topic of TDD, I wanted to have a couple of friends slash coworkers on to have a little fun. We're going to go through some of the questions about the topic on Quora.com and see what we can learn. It's going to be a little bit like reverse Jeopardy in that the questions aren't answers, but the answers aren't answers either. People like to use the site for their own little soapboxes. So we're just going to dive in there and have some fun. Benjamin, Noah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Before we get started, I'd love to introduce each of you to our listeners. Noah, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. Yeah, I'm Noah. I'm in my late 20s. I've been working at Super Good with Jared for a couple of years. And I'm a pretty big fan of testing myself. In my spare time, I like to do a lot of biking.
Awesome. Benjamin, what about you?
Hi, I also work at Supergood. I have been a developer professionally for, I don't know, 5-6 years. But I was a tinkerer before that, a tinkerer and technical writer. I care a lot about things being described well, and I've learned that tests help me do that. In my spare time, I watch a lot of movies.
Awesome. So Noah and Benjamin, you both help us build e-commerce software at Supergoods, and today we are going to be diving into the website Quora. The programmers do not normally ask questions on Quora. It's not the first place that comes to mind when we get stuck on something. Normally we go to Stack Overflow, but Quora allows for more open-ended questions. It seems like over the past, I would say 6 years, the amount of programming questions have fallen off significantly on Quora as Stack Overflow has taken over the world. But keep in mind that we are looking at questions that are mostly at least 6 years old. Some of these are going to be over a decade old. So that said, we are going to try and figure out what Quora has to say about TDD today. And to do that, we are going to start with a few easy questions, and then we're going to dive into some questions that have some more in-depth answers to them. So let's start it off with, is it true that mistakes cannot be made when using test-driven development? If so, what is the point of having testers? No, is that true? Is it TDD means no mistakes ever?
It's absolutely true. We use TDD at Supergood and we have never made a mistake. I've never deployed a bug to prod in well-tested code.
Yeah, and we don't have testers.
Yeah, so there you go. Problem solved. Moving on, since that was such an easy one. Does test-driven development entail writing unit tests before I start coding?
Yes.
That is... I mean, I would argue there's a little more to it than just that, but that is the most important part of it.
It's definitely the defining thing about it. It's a little bit too general of a, or maybe too specific of a question. But
yeah, the answer is just yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people are worried about the TDD gods getting angry at you if you don't spec out your entire system before you write a line of code.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. The the golden rule of test driven development is never write new functionality never appease the gods. Nothing like that. Next up, does test driven development slow down software development?
We're already getting into the questions just keep getting more interesting.
I mean, yeah, the yes, probably in the short term, since you have to do more things, but hopefully in the long run, that saves time.
Yeah, I mean, that's only if your software working is a requirement, though. You got to make that base assumption.
That is true. I've worked on a lot of projects, and no one's ever really explicitly put software has to work in the requirements. All right, agile software development, is TDD required? This user asks.
If you've got a QA team of 100 folks, I think you can move just as fast.
I mean, this isn't about speed. This is about, is it required?
Is it required?
I mean, no.
I think that this is a really upsetting question to me because it sort of speaks to how people, like, agile doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, the whole point is that it's not a prescriptive thing. But so how could it possibly require anything?
It really feels like, I don't know how to put this, but like, does a pizza place have to serve salad kind of question?
Yeah, it is exactly that question.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe one of you can help us with this question, because this really gets at the heart of how is TDD different from Agile? Maybe you can fit this one into the pizza place metaphor.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give it a try. TDD or Agile is like a pizza place, and TDD is like a salad, where some pizza places might enjoy having salad on the menu, where other pizza places are just hell on earth and don't
have salads.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that I mean, that tracks. I'm going to be trying to like carry this metaphor forward continually, where practices are dishes and philosophies are kinds of restaurants. But I like it. I think that answers the question. And finally, before we start diving more deeper into some of the answers that the users of Quora have provided to us, we have: do you find that typos are the largest source of errors for scripting languages today? Is that why we have to do test-driven development? Because we don't have a compile stage in the language? Which does parsing and error checking? Prior to run? There's a lot there.
There's a lot to unpack.
My question here is, who's making this person do test-driven development? There's this sort of this assumption in that second question. Is that why we have to do test-driven development? It's like,
I also want the full confidence of like, if my code compiles, it must be correct. Like, this is an incredibly confident developer.
Yeah there's a lot of questions in there. Those with like typos. Where this person's coming from.
Yeah.
Like, is typos why we write tests? I'm not sure that would be like, I do make typos sometimes, but how could that possibly be the largest source of errors?
Prior to scripted languages, developers just didn't make errors.
Yeah, I'm gonna go tell the next time I'm hanging out with someone that's really into typed languages, I'm going to tell them that the reason type systems exist is to avoid typos. That's why type systems were invented.
I'm really curious where this person's coming from, though, because like, I feel like if I try and get in those sandals, I can see some version of myself from like 20 years ago or something. Like a tinkerer who had never encountered tests and not really understanding what the, like, why you would want to test a large, huge code base with a lot of systems in it and stuff. Like, I can imagine having like a very naive view of like why we do test and what tests are good for and what tests save us from. But
yeah,
this person might be in a first year university course.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a XY problem kind of question where the person is not asking the question that will fix their confusion about testing.
Yes.
As we dive into the questions that have more deep answers here, we're going to start with one that relates to how to the broader discourse around TDD. There are people that are extremely in favor of it, and there are a lot of people who are, let's say, less so. And the question is, what do people not like about TDD? Before we look at the answers that we've been that the core users have, Noah Benjamin, what do you two not like about TDD? You just love it that much.
I think maybe in the past, before I like got value out of it, I found it like just really abstract. And I think maybe what I don't like about it is that it's, you have to know so much before you can actually like be good at it.
Yeah.
And I think that like, I wish there was like a smoother, softer ramp to being good at it, maybe. And maybe that's just because of the languages I learned. Maybe it would have been easier if my first programming language was Go or something, but it wasn't. And I feel like the kinds of errors you get in Ruby and JavaScript sometimes aren't straightforward. And the testing frameworks, like RSpec is a very unusual testing framework too. And a lot of Ruby applications use that instead of something more normal, or something more like other, like what mini test is, like that style of testing
framework. Yeah, XUnit style. Yeah.
XUnit style testing framework. It's just just a lot of abstractions.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair criticism. I think that I want to cover this on the podcast at some point, but I think that the way that TDD is taught broadly is could be improved. I think that we do a really poor job of bringing people into the TDD world. And that does a massive disservice to the practice. No, what about you? What don't you like about TDD?
I mean, it kind of relates to that. For TDD to not be annoying, there needs to be a lot of really good infrastructure. Like, you've got to have your testing framework set up right, usually have good mocks or good factories. And if you're coming into a code base where very few other people have tested, or you're working with other devs that don't care about testing in the same way that you do, then the one person who loves TDD ends up doing a whole ton of that infrastructure work, which is really meant to be split out amongst the whole team. And it's a pain in the butt when you got to do all the infrastructure work all the time. So just like, it's a hard thing to adopt unless you have a broad adoption.
The worst thing about TDD is all the people not doing it, is what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing. All right, let's get into the answers. We are going to start with an answer from username Evil Capitalist from Switzerland, who's been active on the website since the year that I graduated from high school. And they say, if the question is designed to isolate things that would ideally be removed from TDD, then this is simple. anything about it that doesn't address the need for overall improvement of code testability, handover use case style test examples, measurable improvement in fault detection, measurable improvement in fault resolution. So far, this person seems to be taking a really pragmatic approach. They continue on, can be held as suspect. So anything that doesn't meet those criteria can be held as suspect. TDD is not only a method of improvement, it's become akin to a groupthink-led software ideology within software, lacking evidence of real results relative to alternative methods of development and appealing to the populist-minded within the software community. So maybe you two can help me understand how TDD is related to populism.
I thought about this for a while because you sent this earlier, and I can only meet them 30% of the way there, but like I think there's like populists tend to hate dogmatic elitism and rules for the sake of rules. Like that's the philosophy, and I feel like maybe he's saying in TDD there's a lot of rule followers who don't think about why they're doing what they're doing. Okay. That's how I choose to read that, but I really would have said it a different way if that's what he meant.
yeah. This person also continues on to talk about they repeatedly reference alternative methods of development, alternative methodologies, without actually suggesting what they're talking about. Is the alternative to TDD just write the code? I'm not clear what the other alternatives are.
The lure, in essence, the thing to remove from TDD, the lure of dogmatic behavior in relation to its use. This feels like someone who's been forced to use TDD and no one like was able to explain or show them the benefits and they didn't get any benefits from it. Like this feels like, again, a teaching problem.
Yeah. And I covered this actually on the first episode a bit, but one of the issues that I think comes up repeatedly here is that people think that supposedly there are people out there saying that TDD is the only way and you have to always do TDD. Now that's not been my experience. Nobody's told me that. The books I've read have suggested that there are frequently cases where TDD won't allow you to move forward or won't solve problems for you, in which case you should do other things. But I will agree with evil capitalist here that dogmatically treating it as a rigid, this is how you must write all of your code is bad. I would take that away. It was never in my conception of TDD, but if it was in yours, you should probably take that out.
I do see a little bit of this in myself when I leave comments on PR of like, where's the test? Yeah. Like maybe it should be like, are we worried about this breaking?
Sure, yeah.
Or a different question. Because I definitely sometimes find myself just being like, hey, where's the test? I'm just so used to expecting tests.
Yeah. No, that's fair. You know, there's lots of reasons to expect a test. They can actually, you know, help in code review, depending on how they're written, I think. But
giving people reasons for why you want to test, like, I feel like that's part of the learning and teaching and implementing TDD.
Yeah. All right, moving on to another answer here about why people don't like it. After doing TDD for 20 years to significant benefit, so this guy sees the value. He says he's heard just about every reason why people resist or dislike TDD, and he lists out what he considers to be legitimate concerns here. Starting with, the first test you write in a new area can be a bit of a pain, sometimes even tedious. Subsequent tests in the same area get easier, particularly if you're refactoring them well enough to and focusing on behaviors. And that to me, that kind of relates to what you were saying, Noah.
Yeah, definitely.
It is a more paced mode of development, which makes it seem slower at the outset. When done well, it keeps development on a larger system from slowing down dramatically, thus paying off even more in the long run. So he's providing his counterexamples as he goes, because, but I think there's a, when done well is doing the heavy lifting in his rebuttal there, I'd say. But bad tests do not help in the long run.
Yeah, and there are some.
Yeah, absolutely. Since TDD represents a different way of thinking about how to solve problems in code, experienced developers find it hard to accept. They must break old habits and accept that there might be a different, reportedly better way to do things than what they've ingrained. That seems fair. That's a solid criticism. He adds, it's not producing the results they were promised, often because it's easy to practice TDD in a less than ideal manner if you don't understand all the implications of what you do. And then gives examples, not staying atop refactoring hard enough and frequently enough, not knowing enough about what represents a more maintainable design, focusing on testing functions / implementations instead of behavior, not keeping the test clean enough, focusing on the wrong sorts of metrics like code coverage rather than testing all the intended behaviors.
I think that's a pretty fair criticism.
Yeah. And I think it kind of comes back to the education side of this. If TDD doesn't magically lead you to better designs, and I think we'll actually probably end up with some questions talking about this later, but you still have to be able to tell what a good design is. It's just giving you hints that a design might not be ideal, trying to push you there. His final one is, I know I'll need that complex thing in a while. Many folks are experienced enough to know where the code will often end up, and so they'd rather jump to the chase rather than incrementally drive bits. And then he adds his counter, this misses the reasons for incremental growth and sticking to short, simple cycles where the code really ends up is sometimes simpler than the complex speculation, and sometimes the complexity is never needed.
Yeah, that's familiar.
Yeah, no, I felt that pain before.
Yeah.
It's when you have those moments of clarity where you see the design that you want, mm-hmm. It is really difficult to hold yourself back and see, you know, sometimes you just go for it. It's what happens. Not the end of the world.
It's really hard to remember that you've been wrong before.
Cool. That's good advice. That's good advice. Yes.
I mean, I feel the pain sometimes when I go try to do one of those designs and then test it after building it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this isn't as good as I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, the moments that I've tried to make a sweeping design change to something only to discover why that design wasn't picked in the first place halfway through and be like, oh, this was a mistake. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to another one. This one is very long, but
he added his own emphasis, so.
Yeah, so it opens with TDD is a tool. What's wrong is treating TDD as a religion. So this fellow has issues with the zealotry. And skipping through most of what he says to the big bolded bit in the middle, he adds, the so-called thought leaders who preach the gospel of TDD also frequently preach the gospel of dynamic languages.
Preach.
So we're all Rubyists here.
We're not writing this guy's code problem? In a safer language.
He likes C#, Java, and TypeScript.
Yeah, this is one of the most recent answers that we'll actually be looking at. This one's only from 3 years ago.
Oh. I didn't know that was a correlation, actually, that TDD is a dynamic language thing. Is that true? That's not a thing.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's very popular in languages like Ruby, but most of the techniques we use came out of the like Java community. So I don't see a connection there. All right. Finally, before moving on to the next question, we have motorcyclist, photographer, and software developer is this person's title here. They say you, or he says, you need to know what you're doing before you start. That's hard to do without the proper pre-work. Since there's not coding, people don't like doing it. It takes design discipline. You can't just throw crap into general classes and test them. You need to think things out. People prefer to just shotgun crap and cross their fingers. Testing is harder than not, and it takes lots more test code than real code. That's more typing. People don't like that. If you never need to support your code, just skip it. Pretending to be a developer is easier. Smiley face.
Oh.
I honestly kind of like this take.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with this person. If you don't need to maintain your code and just want to throw just shotgun crap into a general class, go for it. You know?
Yeah, I actually tried doing that recently, and this author would be happy to know that I produced a tire fire for myself, and it was awful.
One of the common questions that comes up is, does TDD really improve software quality? And that's a tough question. It's only a piece of the software design practice. So where does it fit in? What does it add? Fortunately, notable Quora user programmers has an answer for us. So for a time, looks like around 8 years ago, Uncle Bob was active on Quora and provides us with a needlessly charged answer to the question, does test-driven development really improve software quality? We won't read the whole thing, but he opens with, guns don't kill people, people kill people. TDD doesn't improve software quality. People improve software quality, but TDD used responsibly with the right training is an assault rifle. I don't know where to start with that. A friend of mine actually did have some feedback, which was when choosing metaphors, you ideally don't want to choose a metaphor where the subject matter completely overruns the point you're trying to make, suggesting. I mean, he's obviously not suggesting that you can do a mass shooting with TDD, but that is what that last sentence says. So,
TDD is effective at making software good, like assault rifles are effective at killing people.
It's troubling that he chose this metaphor.
Yeah. And he uses another, I guess, an analogy later on about, wouldn't you like this magic button that shows you when things are broken? And I really tried hard to, find something I liked about this, answer. But it's just so, there's so much stylistic garbage on top of it that it really just rubs me the wrong way. And yeah, I guess I like that uses proper punctuation and capitalization, and that's where I'll stop being kind to it.
I don't want to give it too much credit, but the point he's fumbling to make there, that ultimately we're still designing the software. We're just using this as a mechanism to get feedback. I think that's the point. He's probably ignoring the last sentence of the assault rifle ban. I'm leaving that one. But the second sentence, TDD doesn't improve software quality. People improve software quality. If you just took the other parts about guns away, that's a totally legitimate point. The other parts added very little other than emotional charge.
Really doesn't map well to what he's talking about at all.
Yes, yes. Actually, so he's answered quite a few questions, but he likes to answer them in the same way.
Yes.
This one, he says, companies don't use TDD, programmers do, in response to, does Pinterest use TDD? In this case, what point is he even making there?
It's very like every answer is a keynote speaker. Every answer is a keynote talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There was, however, to this question, a much more thought out, less ridiculous answer from JB Rainsberger. He says, it depends what you mean by TDD. Do you mean the rules/mechanics of TDD as generally described, or the thoughtful practice of TDD by a skilled practitioner, or something in between? It says,
most I like skilled the skilled practitioner part.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is, I think that is an important aspect to this. It says most skilled practitioners of TDD agree that they perform better from having learned and practiced TDD compared to what they did before practicing TDD, and say that it played a significant role in that improvement. Some skilled TDD practitioners no longer practice TDD diligently. I think Dave Thomas or Andy Hunt, I think, has been on podcast saying that he doesn't do it anymore. He just imagines the API that he wants.
In the new edition of their book, he says that specifically, where he's like, lately when I'm writing code, I just don't write tests anymore. And unless I feel like I need to, and I'm having a great time, or something to that effect.
Yeah. JB clarifies, the rules and mechanics of TDD, however, don't improve the quality of anything on their own. They should, but a sufficiently mindless application of the rules will result in worse designs, more costly maintenance over time than not doing TDD, and then speculates about the potential causes for this. And he's touching on fundamentally the same thing that Uncle Bob was saying much less eloquently, which is that, you know, we're still responsible for the design, even though the process alone doesn't get us there. We still need to know what a good design is and use the process to get there.
With the proper training, you're a skilled practitioner.
So there were a couple other Uncle Bob questions that came up in my researching this episode. One was, should I be embarrassed about my poor quality code I wrote during the early days of my startup? Or is it something everyone does? To which Uncle Bob reassures this person, everyone does it. And yes, you should be embarrassed. You should have gotten more done faster if you had, you would have gotten more done faster if you had kept the quality high. The idea that speed is inversely proportional to quality is a myth. Quality enables speed. The better the code, the faster you go. The startup that finally figures this out will conquer the world.
Conquer the world.
Yeah. You should feel like a piece of shit that you wrote bad code.
You could have conquered the world. Your startup could have conquered the world if you wrote high quality code.
And that begs the question. Why hasn't anyone just tried writing good code?
Yeah.
It's got to be someone who's written high enough quality code to conquer the world out there.
I think Robert might have left some nuance out of this topic. So one question that I was not expecting to see was, can unit testing be outsourced? Before we look at the answer, Noah, Benjamin, have you ever considered outsourcing just the unit tests?
I can't say I have.
You wrote some code and you forgot to test it, and you're like, man, I don't have to go back and do that. I'll just send that overseas.
No, I like typing too much. Like, I just want to like fiddle with the unit tests, honestly.
Yeah, other people can outsource their unit tests to me. I'll write them.
Uncle Bob provided an answer to this one. I think we all know that this is a bad idea. We don't need him to tell us that. We've looked a little bit at what people don't like, and the reality of, you know, does TDD actually make our tests better? But how can TDD make our tests better? Fortunately, query user has asked in test-driven development, how do unit tests help drive good design? So how? Not yes, no, but how do they do it? And fortunately, we have a couple of notable programmers providing us useful answers, like Kent Beck. It turns out Kent Beck also, for a hot minute there, was active on Quora, answering questions about TDD. And we won't dive into too many of them because it gets a little repetitive. But he does provide an answer to how do unit tests help drive good design. He says, TDD doesn't drive good design. It kills people. No, sorry. TDD gives you immediate feedback. TDD gives you immediate feedback about what is likely to be bad design. If a test is hard to write, if a test is non-deterministic, if a test is slow, then something is wrong with the design. When I'm not ready to make good design decisions, I still don't end up with a good design, but I certainly know I have room for improvement.
That definitely resonates. I mean, I have written tests that have sucked, and I've made comments that they've sucked, and I've known when I come back to that part of the code, like, I'm going to prioritize refactoring it. Like, it definitely gives you information if you take the time to listen. You don't have to listen. You don't have to execute on it always.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. That is that's a great point that you don't have to execute on it always. It's just feedback.
To go back to what people don't like about TDD, I think, including me, I guess, there's a lot of abstractions. Sometimes it's hard to listen to, or sometimes it's hard to like identify that a test is hard to write because you don't know that tests can be easy to write, or like because all of the infrastructure you've been using has been bad. And so you then go forward with your bad design because you don't know how to listen to the tests, because you don't know how, you've never read good tests, or it's been a while, or whatever.
Or the only thing you've seen is contrived examples in books, and it's way different when you're in the real world in a real code base.
Or even like if you're refactoring something, like, and you're dealing with tests that are hard to change that you maybe didn't write, but you have to deal with now.
It's an interesting idea. Do you think that bad legacy test code could contribute to why some people are so averse to test-driven development?
Oh, I do think that.
JB Rainsberger also popped up on the answers to this question with a nice, thoughtful answer here. I don't believe that programmer testing alone drives better design. So we're seeing the same theme again. One can always practice test-first programming, in which the programmer uses tests to correctly type in her preconceived design. I find that writing tests helps me uncover design problems more easily, but I could always choose to ignore them. Even so, I find difficulty writing tests for some part of the system, that usually indicates a design problem. I find it hard to give specific examples because that requires code, but I'll try to describe a general case, and then he goes on to do that. So it sounds like he agrees with us and Kent.
Yeah.
Now there was this unique take I found here. Unit tests are really good at turning one's laziness into an advantage. Of course, what good design is highly debatable itself, but there's some characteristics most developers agree on. For example, you want to create small independent units of code that all represent one and only one responsibility within your overall system. Well, writing unit tests that are not small and do more than one thing is a real pain and feels unnatural. On the other hand, writing unit tests that are not small and do more than one thing is very simple. Only much later, you will feel the pain. Thus, working test-driven puts the pain up front and therefore help you drive good design. So we're weaponizing laziness. Is that what we're doing? I shouldn't use the word weaponizing.
I don't know if I like this framing device he's chosen. Because I think there's like a there's like a the subtext is that like everyone's really smart, and we're smart but lazy. But I think the truth is that we're not so smart and lazy.
Yes, that's that's fair. I feel that way.
And I mean, like other responses have said, like you could do TDD mindlessly and end up with a worse design. This is kind of unrelated to existing answers, but like, I feel like purely testing and test-driven development get mixed up so often. And like purely tests can be valuable for different reasons. Like I feel like testing your code helps build resiliency. It helps catch errors earlier, but it's very different than TDD and all the benefits TDD offers, but they get mixed up.
Right. Yeah. What do you think leads to that conflation?
I mean, I guess when I was originally taught testing in university, it was framed as TDD, but it was just learning how to write unit tests. It was not framed as a design framework. Like when we read that book, that was really which book did we read again for book club?
Goose, Growing Object-Oriented Software Guided by Tests.
Yes. That was my first introduction to tests as a design principle. Like I'd been testing for many years, but I'd been mostly testing as like risk management, like ensuring that the system behaves as expected. I hadn't been using testing as feedback about the actual objects themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it brings back to the education side of things, hearing that in your formal education, these distinctions weren't clear and that you weren't given you're presented with a very incomplete picture of what this practice even is and what the point of it is, at least according to those of us that like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think before reading Goose 2, I'd never been educated to, there's a better word for that, right? I'd never been taught how, I knew how unit tests work, but I didn't really understand philosophically how to do end-to-end testing as part of like the TDD flow and how to make it easier for myself here's this like big picture thing I need to do. How do I start writing this test from a blank page and then get it into a place where it's a working feature with an end-to-end test and a unit tests all the way through? But I feel like, yeah, just reading that book makes that much clearer. Like why, like how you can start to do that.
Yeah. I had access to Gary Bernhardt's Destroy All Software screencasts when I was transitioning more seriously into Ruby on Rails development. And they provided a really clear picture of what that actually looked like in a way that nothing else that I'd read up until that point. I think I might have even read the Goose book at that point, but that stuck with me in as it showed me someone with a Rails app doing this ATDD style of acceptance test and then unit testing all the way through to get to complete the whole picture, and then the acceptance test passed, and then let's move on and to do the next step in a way that seemed very fluid and natural at the time. And I didn't understand, I did not realize that it was not a thing that it was that every programmer was being taught, which I think is a shame.
Yeah.
Let's go back and look at what is wrong with TDD. Again, we have three answers as to, there were lots of questions, lots of people asking questions about what's wrong with TDD, what's the worst part of TDD, etc. We're just going to look at a few here.
It's always fun to hate on the most popular thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the biggest problem of TDD, or sorry, of test-driven development? The biggest problem of TDD, in my opinion, is the maintenance of tests. You generate as much test code as production code. If you neglect it rigorously, or sorry, if you neglect to rigorously weed out and refactor tests, you'll end up with spending more time fixing tests than writing production code. In order to get anything done, you will need to, or you will choose a design that minimizes the changes to your test rather than a design that solves the application problem best and keeps code maintainable. Nevertheless, I believe that TDD is a great technique to get clean, loosely coupled code. What are your thoughts on maintaining tests here?
I mean, I've definitely felt the pain of having to undo bad test design decisions made by myself or other people. And it's very unpleasant. I wish there was an easy... Sure, it is a problem with test-driven development if executed poorly, for sure. But
it seems like the DHH complaint, actually. Like that last...
Oh, what's his complaint?
You will choose a design that minimizes the changes to your test rather than a design that solves the application problem best and keeps the code maintainable. That's not exactly, but DHH's big critique was that, I mean... was basically just that dependency injection is bad and he doesn't want to have to do it. So, you know, thus TDD makes worse code, QED. There's a relationship there, right? This is a little deeper, I think, now that I actually reread it. Do either of you find yourselves writing, choosing designs that minimize changes to tests?
No,
I feel like if I write code that breaks a ton of tests, that's telling me something about the system. Like, that's telling me that, oh, this bit is a linchpin that's used by a whole bunch of different things. Like, is this incredibly tightly coupled? Is this object incredibly tightly coupled with a bunch of other objects? And should it be? Like, if you're spending a lot of time fixing tests and your tests are breaking pretty consistently, it's like, that would make me question, like, are your unit tests actually unit tests? Are they reaching outside of the objects? Or, like, what is the coupling of the code? Like, is there a high degree of coupling across the board that's causing unrelated test failures? Like, it's still telling you information. And yeah, you can choose to ignore that information and stick to a design that doesn't break your test. But I feel like that's actually a good thing. If you have to change your design so your tests break less, like, you'll end up with a better design. I think that's part of the philosophy.
When you make a change and it breaks a whole ton of tests, yeah, so I agree with you that you that indicates that's a critical piece of your system, probably, or at least that a lot of things depend on it. When you're going through and trying to reconcile the tests with the change that you're trying to make, do you also consider why each of those tests broke?
Sometimes, not as often as I should, I would say. I have one piece of feedback I've gotten from doing that consideration is, like, I used to, when writing end-to-end tests, and specifically end-to-end tests on UI, like, care more a lot about exerting exact things on the page. And I found that led to very brittle tests. And when those tests kept on breaking, when I changed unrelated code, I was like, maybe the exact text that's shown up isn't as important. Maybe just as long as the gist of everything is there and things are laid out generally where they should be. Like, can I make my tests more assert about, like, the general behavior rather than, like, this incredibly specific thing? Like, that taught me something about integration testing for sure, specifically UI integration testing.
Interesting. Yeah, because one of the things that I often tell people is that in the work we do, as we do more and more upgrades through versions of Solidus, which is the e-commerce framework that we all work in, that the test suite, like, it gets easier to do the upgrades because as we sort of change let's say, arbitrary aspects of the system, then we encounter tests that fail for reasons that they shouldn't. Things, we find tests that are coupled to aspects of the implementation that,
right,
that shouldn't fail. And ideally, if we're skilled practitioners, then we identify that and we change the test so that it doesn't fail. So it's isolated from this implementation detail. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of those things that when you do cause a big cascade of failures, it's important to look at and be like, okay, should all of these things have failed that I changed this? Probably right. Some of them should, but should all of them? Do we need to change some of these tests so that they're not dependent on this other piece of the system?
Yeah, that's a very good summary in general.
We have this answer to the question, what's this other answer to the question, what's the biggest problem of test-driven development? This person says they crash too often. They shouldn't be built from the beginning. In my current job, I have to write a program called ProTrack. Not heard of that, but this was 4 years ago. It started 2 months ago. We were with a small team of students, but only had a few who had knowledge of ASP.NET. So one of the guys who couldn't program like us wanted to write the test because it's easy. Full time, he wrote tests for 3 weeks. After the fourth week, he left, because all the tests kept failing since our domain was constantly changing to new requirements. So this is interesting. This person is feeling the pain of the world changing, and the tests are an impediment to supporting that change.
I think he's also feeling the pain of having outsourced his unit tests to a single developer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. I think the real problem, this is one of those, we're not talking test-driven development here. No test. No, there's no, okay, put one guy in the corner. This guy writes tests for 3 weeks. I don't know what version of TDD. Everyone's coding?
I think if that had been me, I hope I would have quit after 1 week instead of 3 weeks.
Yeah, all right, that might not be a real problem with TDD. That might just be a real problem with people knowing what TDD is. Now our third and final con here is the major problem of the test-driven development is that it produces both the poor tests and the poor code. So here you have it. Yeah, TDD makes you write shit code and shit tests. This person goes on to say, what you need to create in advance to write the code is the example of its use, not the tests. The examples concentrate on making the typical use case convenient and expressive. The tests concentrate on exercising all kinds of the boundary conditions. The examples shouldn't be particularly concerned with the implementation. The tests should. The examples should be small, sweet, and approximate. The tests should be detailed and precise. So when people say that they write the tests first, what they write aren't the tests, because they are never properly cover the boundary conditions. But they aren't proper examples either, because people don't think about the convenience of use when writing them. They think about the internals of the implementation. The end result is the ugly APIs with no proper tests, only an illusion of tests, which is worse than just not having any tests. And with a whole lot extra time spent modifying the large body of neither examples nor tests during the implementation phase, when it turns out the initial assumptions weren't correct in some ways.
I think it's a really interesting answer that I don't... By examples, do they mean documentation? Or like user stories or what? I don't know, but
I think he means the kind of examples you'd find in documentation. I think what he's saying is there's this idea of the test should demonstrate how to use an object, and mm-hmm. he thinks examples should do that, and the test should be coupled to the implementation. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he argues for the opposite. He's saying people don't think about the convenience of use when writing these tests. They think about the internals of the implementation.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like he might have been working with people who write tests that are intensely coupled to the details of the implementation, don't actually test the behavior, and the people writing the unit tests didn't even test the boundary conditions. It's like, this seems like someone who, if they knew what BDD was and knew that BDD also included boundary conditions, I think they would actually be quite happy with it.
Yeah, it's hard to like totally get where they're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I think the test should be examples of how to use these objects.
Yeah.
And good tests are. And when I'm writing tests, one of the things that I'm supposed to be thinking about is how easy the objects are to use. And I think that I'm using the tests to get feedback on that.
Right.
Aren't I?
I mean, that's my understanding of, or that at least that's how I benefit from TDD.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a good illustration of how important the examples are, even if this person seems to have a different conception or experience with the practice itself. Moving on to some more lighthearted topics rather than the perils of TDD. Maybe one of you can provide us the answer, because I don't know. I didn't really feel like Quora had the answer to this one for us. Why is test-driven development not made mandatory for all new software development across all companies?
I don't know. People hate fun.
I don't know.
Do we need the TDD, the software development police, to come in and start cracking down on everyone here?
I mean, it is a religion.
The TDDPD?
How else are we going to enforce this dogmatic ideology?
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of something that would do more to spread TDD throughout the world than just forcing everyone to do it without any actual plan to show them how.
I mean, like, I feel like the core of a bunch of these confused people on Quora has been people who've been forced how to do it by people who don't have a good understanding of why or aren't that great at passing on the information.
Yeah, but this person wants to be forced to do it. They obviously haven't, and they need someone to stand behind them and go, write the test first. All right, we'll never know why that's not mandated for everyone. Conveniently, there were a few questions about Ruby. Since we're all Rubyists, I thought we'd look at those questions. Let's kick things off with, is it possible to get a Ruby programming job without following the tenets of test-driven development? First of all, I'll put the question to you two. Can you even get a job in Ruby without doing TDD?
Based on my previous experience, yes.
Yes, I agree.
living proof right here in the studio with us. All right. So since we know that it's true, I have some bad news. Our first answer here says that it is a career dead end not to do TDD. You might as well just give up on being a programmer if you're not going to do TDD.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
yeah, TDD, and the rest of the answer is like pretty harsh and mean.
Yeah, without tests, nobody else is going to willingly want to touch the code you're writing. You garbage person.
I mean, TDD is one way to get to good design. It's one way to get to resilient systems. I would say it's one of the best ways, but it's like you can write high quality code by getting other feedback. It's just this is one very consistent way to get good feedback and use it. You don't have to, but would you benefit from it? Probably.
I mean, he presents a sort of alternative here, which is that you write all the code with no tests so that only you understand it and become a single point of failure for the company, which is the only other alternative I can see to writing tests first. There's no other outcomes.
Job security.
I mean, we found the guy that all the other people who don't like TDD are mad at for making them do TDD. This is the one who's like, there's only two options. You can either write good code that won't make me stab you in the back, and to do that, you have to use TDD. Otherwise, you will destroy the company you work for.
You become the archetype of the programmer in the back office who holds the keys to the castle.
Following up on that clearly enlightened answer, this person says Ruby without unit tests is not maintainable. Ruby is dynamic and may also involve metaprogramming, hence IDE magic is lacking, so you can safely refactor build on top only if you have unit tests. Ruby is highly flexible to suit every programmer style of writing code, hence tests allow you to document the contract in plain English. And the best way to do unit testing is TDD. Hence, I don't think anyone should hire a Ruby dev to write unmaintainable code.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, by this logic, you could have one big class that has all your functions if it's unit tested. Boom. Maintainable is set. Clearly documented, unit tested, you're golden.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of
super maintainable,
undocumented, untested code that is easier to understand and better than tested code that, I mean, I don't know if it was done TDD, I guess, but tested code that is not documented or that is documented or whatever.
Well, that couldn't possibly be true. Not according to this person. You're making that up, Benjamin. You don't do TDD. He's not saying that you couldn't get a job, but that nobody should hire you. Andy Grimm showed up in the responses to this one with a real short his title is Human on Quora.com 13 years ago. He says, sure, but why would you want to be paid for code that only works by accident? That sounds like more of a headache than I would want to deal with.
Oh, if I could if I could just write code for clients and just like slam my head on the keyboard and be like, whoops, accident. I wrote working code.
How many monkeys at typewriters can produce, does it take to produce an e-commerce website?
Exactly.
Tested code not done with TDD is also, it only works by accident.
Yeah. I don't feel a lot of these really answer the question. I mean, he did ask the question. He said yes. He said sure.
Yeah.
People have different ways of verifying code. I would say that a lot of them are measurably worse than TDD, but there are different ways. It's not the only way to verify your code.
Of course. Our final answer to this question is from someone that says, yes, it is possible, but I will never join a development team that does not practice TDD. This guy doesn't want your damn job.
Oh,
I hope he knows being offered a job on Quora.com.
I am guilty of having asked in an interview, like, I'm not guilty. I ask in interviews whether the team, what testing practices a team has. Like, that is something I will ask when approaching a company, because I feel like it does tell you a fair bit about the company.
What kind of answers have you gotten to that to that question?
I've gotten, like, some people do. We let developers decide what level of testing they need, and then other times it's been like, oh, it varies from team to team, And then once or twice I've had like the lead dev in the room and he's been like, I really want us to practice. We're working. We're trying to get there on our way there. And that's the answer that gives me the most confidence, because like you need someone higher up in a company invested in it to make it work. It's a pain in the butt to start. It's a pain in the butt to teach, but it really pays off. I mean, like doing Goose at Supergood, I think was like incredible for the Supergood team, but that was also a pretty big investment. But I would in a heartbeat recommend any other company like also does a book club on that book.
Did you ask me that question when you interviewed her?
I think I did, actually. I think
Do you remember what I said?
I mean, I think we just bantered about like testing and testing qualms for a while. And I was like, okay, we're pretty aligned and I have a lot to learn from you. I felt a little bit out of my depth, I think.
I've never considered asking that, but I have asked, do I have to be on a PagerDuty?
That's worth asking. There, the other Ruby related TDD question I found was, what is the best way to learn test driven development in Ruby? And there were unfortunately not many answers there. I think there are only two answers here. Three answers. One of them is a company trying to sell their services, not a real answer. Thanks, Quora. The first one is, the most efficient method of learning something to me is to put a specific goal, not a very easily achievable and not very difficult, but one that will be enough to learn what you need. Then split the goal on smaller parts and try to overcome one or few of them every day. Well, there you go. Specifically how to learn TDD in Ruby.
Just make SMART goals, just SMART, and you'll get it.
It's great advice. It's just has nothing specifically to do with TDD or Ruby.
Just learn it in baby steps.
Yeah, simple. Stupid. Just learn it step by step, idiot.
Man, I almost feel like we shouldn't teach testing and TDD at the same time. I feel like one of the biggest pain in the butts about testing is just like learning how to debug code or debug tests or dealing with tricky errors.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, there's to employ it as a design tool has some prerequisites that you have to be comfortable with the tools and the language and the framework that you're working in. And without those, I don't really think that you can. You also have to have reasonable conception of what a good design is, or what is to your team specifically. And without that, I don't really think that it can, I don't really think it gets you very far just on its own.
Yeah. In order to use the design feedback from TDD effectively, like you need to know a lot of underlying program design concepts. And then you need to be able to effectively write tests in a way that doesn't make you so annoyed that you just move on right away. You need to be able to pull up those concepts and think of what code smell you might be finding when a test is hard to write. Like, you need to be able to document your code well. You need to actually be able to define the behaviors and requirements of your system well, which is a whole nother soft skill in programming, in order to write high quality tests and to write tests that actually encapsulate the behavior of your system. Like, if you don't understand the behavior, you can't write good tests. If you're not good at understanding and digging into requirements and figuring out what they actually are and what behavior is actually expected, you're not going to write good tests. Like, there's so much programming background before TDD can actually be useful.
And I think for specifically talking about Ruby, like if you're a person coming in and just learning Ruby and then also having to learn Rails and then also having to learn RSpec, it's like almost like it feels impossible because to me, like just imagining having to do that all at once. I didn't really have to do that all at once, but I can't imagine coming in just being new to Ruby and then like seeing an RSpec file and be like, this is Ruby? Like, it's so different. Or at least the way a lot of people write RSpec tests.
That kind of relates to the only other real question or real answer to this question, which was the one-liner, I am a big fan of Coens. Learn Ruby with the Neo Ruby Coens, which is interesting. It's an interesting idea. Neo Ruby Coens are a set of essentially tests that you fill in the blanks with to learn about how Ruby works and its behavior. So there are tests involved, but it is a Ruby learning tool that has nothing to do with testing.
Yeah.
What do you two like the cones? Do you think they're good?
Love the cones.
Yeah, I thought the cones were helpful when I started.
I did them once when I was starting to learn Ruby in a real way, and then once a year later. And I would recommend everyone do that. It was very insightful.
I feel like that might be related to my opinion, which is I think they're kind of useless for people who don't have experience with at least a few other languages, because they show you how Ruby behaves in these really isolated ways without, and if you don't have context of why that's significant, how you would use these behaviors, it doesn't really mean a lot. But if you have experience with a lot of other languages or just generally writing a lot of code, then you could see how Ruby differs from other languages through these, and it would be a lot more valuable. And I think in the same way that doing it once early on just to get the basics down, you might not understand the significance, and then writing a bunch of Ruby and then coming back and do them, you might understand the significance of what they're trying to teach you.
Yeah.
Which is nothing about unit testing or TDD.
Nope.
All right. So we'll unfortunately, we cannot answer what is the best way to learn TDD in Ruby.
But we kind of already did. Highly recommend the Goose Book.
Or to the Destroy All Software videos, which specifically are Ruby and show test-driven development.
I would just add, you shouldn't be embarrassed when you do it wrong. And just
don't listen to Uncle Bob.
Don't listen to Uncle Bob.
Wrapping things up here, we have one final question. Is test-driven development still in vogue? Or was it a fad?
Those mean the same thing, right?
I mean, I think it's two questions. If it's still in vogue, then it was a fad. It just is a fad currently.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think I would ignore that aspect of it. I would say, is it just a fad? Is TDD a fad?
I guess we don't know. What we don't know, maybe OpenAI will come up with something that is better than TDD for getting feedback about stuff we're writing. But I think it's sticking around for a while, I guess.
Until LLM-driven development takes over?
Yeah,
I'm thinking you start writing your code, it auto-tests it for you, it tells you how your design is bad. It's just a constant critic over your shoulder.
The people of Quora have spoken. En vogue and a fad mean the same thing. This person just digresses into like, maybe you're asking if it's a fad or if it's a useful engineering practice, which I don't think they're mutually exclusive personally, but I think it was a fad personally, but I think it's also a useful engineering practice, and it's unfortunate that it was a fad. It's not going away though. Like, what do you think? I mean, I think there was a period where it was tremendously popular, alongside.
I guess I missed that part.
Yeah. It was a little ahead of, we're all slightly young for it.
Well, I'm glad I missed that part then.
This person says, TDD is a suggested path to good test coverage, but it does not help you with the quality of your tests. You still have to put careful thought into the values of the tests you are adding. I don't practice TDD. Instead, I make sure I write my code with tests in mind, which that's the pragmatic programmer.
The Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas one. This ensures that my code is testable, but it also allows me to add only the tests I find to be useful. It might seem odd to argue against 100% test coverage. I'm not arguing for 100% test coverage. But people forget that test code requires maintenance as well. So adding a bunch of low-value unit tests may actually work against you from a maintenance perspective.
I certainly appreciate tests that are easy to change and refactor the same way I appreciate code that is easy to change and refactor, or I guess easy to delete also.
Am I unique in, I semi-frequently look at PRs and say, I don't know if it's really worth having all these tests here. I would say that happens sometime. I mean, I did it like this week. I reviewed PR. Wow. I was like, these tests are, they had nothing. Hopefully I was nicer than that, but the tests ended up getting removed from the PR. Do you encounter that?
No, I feel like a lot of the PRs I review over the last while, I've wanted more tests.
No, you were already saying that you ask for more tests, so.
I often ask for more tests. I mean, I feel like tests working against people from a maintenance perspective, like, again, my gut is that that's just a sign of poor coupling. I do think that can come into play in end-to-end tests more than unit tests. Like, having a ton of end-to-end tests can be very difficult to maintain, and they are notoriously brittle. But if your unit tests are actually unit tests and they actually just test the behavior of an object, like, they shouldn't be working against you from a maintenance perspective. It's like,
right,
I don't think you're quite writing proper quote-unquote unit test if that's happening.
Sure, but I think, you know, this person is saying people forget that test code requires maintenance. You know, I've certainly experienced situations where I go to make a change and a bunch of things, I was talking about this earlier, fail that I don't think should have failed. You know, those tests are out there. I think this is a real pain.
I have written those tests and I have caused problems for myself and other people.
Yeah, there's definitely this has nothing to do with whether this is a fad or not, but it does. It is part of the skill of writing good tests.
Evil capitalists.
Yes, this one also has a comment from our friend from the start of the episode, Evil Capitalist, who jumps in and says, "Nice to see that not everyone has turned into a TDD zealot. How refreshing." I hope it's fair to read their comments in that voice. I mean, they're called Evil Capitalist. I gotta put some edge on it.
A real plankton from SpongeBob.
The final question here says, it's not a fad, still recommend it today. I think that's probably true. Lots of people recommend it today. But they had an interesting note that I wanted to see what you two had to say about. They said TDD was not only for Rails shops. In fact, TDD largely began with small talk long before Rails appeared.
Who said anything about Rails?
I don't know enough about the Rails community. Were the Ruby and Rails folks just known for, like, being the TDD zealots? Like,
there is an association that goes back to there were a lot of people in the small talk community who then moved on to the Ruby community who were big on the unit testing. And so there is a bit of an association there, though I wouldn't put too much faith in what this person says, because their account has in fact been banned from Quora.com. So I don't know what they were asking about that got them banned, but all right. Was it a fad? Well, it certainly saw a rise in popularity. That was before I was seriously a programmer in the industry, and we're all in roughly the same boat there, but. Noah, Benjamin, do you still recommend TDD despite that it's not as popular as it was 15 years ago?
I feel like I'm a better software developer because of it. It took me a while to become a skilled practitioner, but I don't regret the effort I put into learning how to do that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I would say that, like, I agree with the previous comment that, like, even if you don't end up strictly following TDD practices, like, what it teaches you about looking at code and looking at tests, like, is really valuable. Like, learning the tenets behind it and, like, why it's useful, like, is incredibly useful in itself.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, it has been a pleasure having you two on the show. Thank you for joining me, Noah and Benjamin.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for having us.
Like I said at the top, we're going to be moving on to some other topics. This is not just a TDD podcast, even though the first two episodes have been focused on it. If you know anyone that I should be interviewing on the podcast, please hit up our socials. Now go delete some.